You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
James chapter number 4 this evening, James chapter number 4. And as you turn there, seeing as how we are in November and we are in that Thanksgiving season, I would like to say thank you to North Valley Baptist Church. Pastor just mentioned how his staff trains his staff, but another thing that, at least with me and Brother Simmons, we can attribute a lot of that to Golden State Baptist College. Amen. And if it wasn't for your sacrifice and your financial gifts, in order to have that, I don't know where I would be today. And just thank you so much, North Valley Baptist Church, for your years of faithfulness and your sacrifice and your impact. Though you may not think you had much of an impact on me, you did. And this church has been a blessing to me. James chapter number 4, and we'll look in verse 4 this evening. And we'll also turn to Luke chapter 11 a little bit later on. But I'll try to be quick tonight. James 4:4 says this, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." What a powerful, what a heavy truth in this verse. Here we see that God in His Word not only shares with us who He is, but in this verse, He really shares with us His heart. He opens up to us how He feels about a friendship with the world. Amen. Working in the college is an incredible thing. I get to watch college students all day, and it is fun. It is a highlight of my life, okay? Because I was there not too long ago, and one thing that I see often is I see a guy who, in his heart, he has feelings for a girl. And I see the same thing, a girl who in her heart, she has feelings. And man, it takes his friends, it takes the faculty, it takes a bunch of people to get that young man to express those feelings inside his heart to that person. And we're constantly pushing that because it's a great thing. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. So our nature, men, is to keep that feeling inside of our hearts. But God opens up His heart to us in this verse, and He shares with us how He feels. But not only that, God also gives us instruction about what to do. Not only does He tell us, this is how I feel about a friendship with the world, but He gives us instruction. I love my wife. She's incredible. She's the best thing that has happened to me outside of salvation. It goes salvation, my wife, and then cinnamon rolls, okay? I love cinnamon rolls, okay? Now, I know Mrs. Bridgman, she's very secretive of her recipe, but if you see my wife tonight and you guys exchange some information, it'll help our marriage, really. And I think that you would want to do that for a young marriage. You'd want to help, so just consider that. But my wife is one of the greatest gifts that has happened to me, and I'm sure some of you men, you'll agree with me on this, but you'll find at times your wife will share with you how she feels about something because you said something stupid or you did something really immature and you hurt your wife, and so she's going to tell you how she feels about it. Well, I made the mistake of asking, what can I do differently to make that better? After she had just told me how she felt. Now, college guys, take note. That's not what you're supposed to do, okay? You just let it sink in, all right? So here's the thing. Oftentimes, when she's letting me know how she feels, it's not the time to get instruction on what to do about it, okay? It's time for me to think about it and ponder it and realize how much I've hurt her, okay? But tonight, God not only shares His heart, but He gives us instruction. What we can do about what He tells us in His Word. And that's what I want us to see tonight in James chapter 4 and also in Luke chapter 11. But before we begin, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight and we have a privilege to open up Your Word and to hear from You tonight. God, I pray that you would cleanse me of sin and self. God, I pray that you would be able to use me. I pray that the message from your word would not fall on deaf ears. I pray that I would not get in the way of it. But God, that you would meet with us tonight, that you would speak to each heart. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses." These two words are not just random words that God has chosen to start out this verse. But God begins with painting a picture, with giving us an illustration of adulterers and adulteresses. There's a couple, a man and a wife. They stand at the marriage altar, big smiles on their face, ready to begin this new life with each other. And that new life starts with the commitment, with a promise that they will be true to one another, that they will love one another, Amen. That they will cherish and respect each other as long as they both shall live. As the wedding bells ring and the day ends, they go off to their honeymoon and have a great time. Well, days pass and months pass and years pass, and that relationship is still going well. But then one day, while the wife is at work, this man notices the same things about this woman that the husband has noticed, those things that attracted him to her in the first place. And this man begins to strike up a conversation. He begins to try and talk to this woman. And she, not really thinking anything of it, continues that conversation. And as time progresses, the conversations go beyond just work and they start talking about personal life. They start getting deeper and deeper and more intimate in their conversations until eventually we find that this wife and this man have heartbreak and they have sorrow because of the actions of this man and this woman. Adulterers and adulteresses. It's interesting, though, that this sin never comes about instantaneously. It's never just a moment, but it is a gradual progression. It starts with a friendship. The Bible says that friendship of the world is enmity with God. God chooses these words to paint a picture of adulterers and adulteresses, and then he asks a question. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Enmity is ill will. It is hatred. It implies opposition. The first time we read of enmity is in the Garden of Eden, when God announces and he pronounces this curse upon Satan. There shall be enmity between the seed of the woman and the serpent. There shall be opposition. There shall be hatred and strife between the world and Christ. The Bible says that enmity, friendship with the world, is enmity with Christ. It is ill will, hatred, and opposition. I want us to see tonight two things about a friendship with the world. What does a friendship with the world do for the Christian? I want us to see, first of all, tonight, friendship with the world, number one, hurts God's heart. It hurts God's heart. When we think that our actions and the things that we take pleasure in of this world have no consequence, let me remind you tonight that that hurts the heart of God. The Bible says that he compares it to adultery. Friendship is favor. Friendship is willingness to unite. Friendship is intimacy, it's closeness. When we take favor with the world, when we unite with the world, when we begin to be intimate and close with the world, we hurt the heart of God. Amen. The Bible says at the end of that verse, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." You know, this friendship with the world, we're supposed to have that friendship with God.
We're supposed to have favor toward God, not the world. We're supposed to have willingness to unite with God, not with the world. We're supposed to have closeness with God, not the world. We're supposed to have intimacy and privacy with God, not with the world. It hurts God's heart. We see that the world and all of its pleasures, the world and all of its offers to us, all it simply is the enemy of God trying to lure away his people. That's what worldly music is. It's the enemy trying to lure away God's people. That's what worldly television, worldly books, worldly programs, worldly podcasts, you put a name on it, anything that the world produces, its end goal is to lure God's people away from his heart. It is the tempter drawing us away from God, trying to cause us to commit adultery with God. That is what the aim of the world's offers is. I want us to all realize tonight, the Bible says, "Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" Not only does it hurt God's heart, but I want us to learn to turn to Luke chapter number 11. Keep your finger there in James, because we're coming back. But in Luke chapter number 11, we're going to see Jesus present a truth. Now, the context of this truth is that he had cast out devils, and Pharisees and scoffers had begun to think in their mind, Christ is casting out these devils by Beelzebub, by the work of Satan. Well, Jesus, the Bible says in verse number 17, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. Jesus here is teaching that a house that is divided, a kingdom that has turmoil within, leads to desolation. It leads to a ghost town. It leads to nothing. The Bible says that a house divided against a house falleth. And here's what he's saying. He's saying that when the child of God, well, really the context is concerning him not being working with Satan. I don't want to lead you astray with the misinterpretation here. The clear interpretation is that Jesus is saying, I'm not doing the work of the devil, okay? But the application here tonight is that this truth says, a house divided against a house falleth. If we are supposed to be with God, if we are supposed to be on his side, if we are supposed to be standing with him, but instead we are choosing a friendship with the world, we are dividing the house. We are dividing the work that God is trying to accomplish. We are hindering that work. So God's work is brought to desolation when we sneak out of the house, when we get away from the house of God, to be with the world. A house divided against a house falleth. The Bible says that a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. That's what we saw about a year ago when Pastor showed us that video of Akron Baptist Temple. That church that was once doing a great work for God. The auditorium was filled with people hungry to hear the word of God. They had a desire to go see souls saved, and that church was doing a work for God. But along the line, the world's friendship had come into the church, and now that church is desolation. Now that house has fallen because of a friendship with the world. So here's what happens. Over on this side, somebody says, you know, I heard this song out here in the world. And sure, it had the everything that else had to do with the world, but the words talked about Jesus. Yeah. And I feel like if we would just bring that over to the church. We could probably get some more people to come in, and they would like the music. They'd stick around for the message. And here's what you're doing. You're bringing the enemy into the house of God, and that is going to cause division that will bring desolation. Over here, well, it's just, I heard this out in the world that God is all loving. And because of that, we should overlook everybody else's sin. We should just look past the transgenderism, and we should look past all of the LGBTQ stuff, and we should just let them in, and we shouldn't address the sin. We should just love them. And bringing that philosophy into God's house divides the kingdom, and it brings desolation. Here's what it does. A friendship with the world hinders the work of God.
Amen.
So many of us in our day, we hear it often. I just wish that God would send revival. I wish that God would do a great work in our country. I want to see America come back to God. And I want that just as much as the next person. But many of us want that in our day. God wants it too. God wants to do a work. God wants to see souls saved. God wants to see baptism water stirred. God wants to see the buses full. God wants it too. But here's the problem. Too many Christians in our generation are over here with a friendship with the world, and we're hindering the work that God wants to accomplish. We're hindering the work that God wants to do because of our friendship with the world. God makes it very clear, and He shares His heart with us tonight when He shows us that a friendship with the world hurts His heart, and a friendship with the world hinders His work. But not only does God show us this truth, He shows us what to do about it. He shows us what action we can take. Go back with me to the book of James, chapter number 4, where we started. James, chapter number 4, and I want us to look in verse number 8.
Yep, amen.
The Bible says in James 4, 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. God says there's two things tonight that you can do about your friendship with the world. You have your private sin. You have your intimate sin with the world that only you and the world knows about. Your family doesn't know about it. Your church doesn't know about it. That music you listen to or that show you watch or whatever it is, you have that intimacy with the world that you're supposed to have with God. What can you do about it tonight? What can you do about that friendship with the world? First of all, spend time with God, not the world. Spend time with God, not the world. He says at the beginning of that verse, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. We read earlier about how we make ourselves the enemy of God when we choose a friendship with the world. When I hear the phrase, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you, I think of a very specific moment in Scripture. I think of a story that Jesus told. I think of the father sitting outside of his house, and maybe he sees something off in the distance, and he stands up, and over the hill comes his prodigal son. And that's the drawing nigh moment. And I see, as soon as he sees, he heads this way, and he runs toward his son, because he knows that his son is drawing nigh.
Amen.
If you have a friendship with the world tonight, all you have to do is simply turn.
Amen.
God is looking. God is waiting. God is watching. He's got His eyes open, looking for someone to draw nigh to Him. But not only that, we spend time with God, not the world. But lastly tonight, we clean up the sin. We clean up the sin. The Bible gives us two ways to do this. He first says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. That deals with the outward things. Cleansing our hands on the outside, the things that we touch, the things that we hear, those things that we partake in that we know are wrong, those actions that we do, those physical things we know that are friendship with the world. He says, cleanse your hands. Get rid of the music. Get rid of the show. Get rid of whatever it is that you are having a friendship with the world. He says, cleanse your hands.
Amen.
But then he says, he deals with the inside, not just the outside. He says, purify your hearts. He says, it's not good enough just to take this and get it out of here. But he says, you've got to get your heart back in the right position. You've got to get your heart back in tune with God. We've got to clean the outside, but we've got to clean the inside. That deals with our mind. That deals with our desires. That deals with our heart. We must clean that. We must ask the Lord to purify it. And we must do what John 17:7 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. How do we clean our heart? How do we purify our heart? It's this book right here. This book is what can clean our heart. It's what can get our heart back in tune with God. So tonight we see very clearly that God has made himself very clear. A friendship with the world hurts his heart. A friendship with the world hinders his work. But what can we do about it? Tonight we can clean our hands. We can purify our hearts, and we can get our heart back in tune with God.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.